Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. This is Coltrane Carlson, and our guest today is our State Senator Jesse Green joining us once again. So thank you very much, sir, for coming on.
Hey, you bet. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Well, not too long ago, we talked about some of the changes that the Senate would like to have seen in the proposed Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, going forward. And it seems like the House did its part, and the bill, I believe, is sitting on the governor's desk, awaiting for her signature to be signed into law. So with that being said, Senator Green, kind of point out the highlights for us as far as what the finalized version ended up being to get to the governor.
Yeah, you bet. So this was a very interesting debate. A lot of misconceptions out there about what this bill does. And just to start off the conversation with this topic, people forget that it wasn't that many years ago, I think it was 2018, where the state of Iowa got fined from the USDA for our fraud rate. And that was quite a few millions of dollars that we got fined. And so we need to do better in the state of Iowa when it comes to verifying who can qualify for food assistance. And so this bill is reflective of the Senate's efforts in the last few years. The House, it took a while for the House to get on board with some of our thoughts with this, but this year they did, and I'm grateful to them for doing that. And what this bill does is that we're going to be making investments into our technology to be able to verify people's assets more accurately and also make the process go quicker for people that are signing up for these assistance programs. That's number one. And then secondly, what we're going to be verifying is that somebody doesn't, you know, so far it's always been income-based, and federal requirements is 130% of poverty level that somebody can qualify for food assistance. But here in Iowa, we're more generous than that. It's 160% of federal poverty level. So we're actually codifying that with this, whereas before it wasn't codified. This adds verification that if you have any more than $15,000 in liquid assets, so that's basically focusing on cash in the bank type situations, that you cannot qualify for food assistance. And so there's some of the misconceptions out there is, what about people in their IRAs or Social Security benefits or retirement stuff? Those are separate. Those are not considered liquid assets. And it also allows for two vehicles and one vehicle being exempt. So you could literally drive a Mercedes-Benz and still be on food assistance. But the second vehicle that somebody has must be under $10,000 of market value. So that's kind of the 30,000-foot view of that and what we're trying to do to make that program more sustainable.
All right. And then we kind of move off from there, and we'll talk about another bill that had some changes along the way, and looks like the Senate was able to agree with a upped maximum amount for the pain and suffering, non-economic damages for victims of those that are killed by truckers on the road, up to $5 million on that non-economic limit rather than the $2 million that was previously proposed. Looks like the Senate was able to pass that bill along. And so kind of give us the update from your point of view. Did you agree with that kind of amended amount to up it to $5 million rather than stay at the $2 million that was previously proposed?
Well, I agreed with some of the changes. At the end of the day, I just wanted something to be done with this. And you're right in highlighting that one of the changes was $2 to $5 million, but also change it to on a per plaintiff basis rather than per incident basis. So that was another big change as well. And there's a lot of exceptions to this as well, common sense exceptions. So if the driver was on alcohol, drugs, or refusing OWI testing, or if the driver had a felony involving a commercial vehicle, if he was not operating with a valid license, if it was a distracted driving situation, or if the trucker was speeding more than 15 mile an hour over, in those situations, then the cap on non-economic damages would go away in those situations. So most people thought that was common sense as well. One change that the House made was this limitation is just for those with a CDL license. So prior to that change, it would have included even tractors and big pickup trucks and some of those vehicles that don't require a CDL license. That was another change that the House made. So overall, this brought the lobby together. It brought the trial attorneys and the trucking company together to come up with this bill, how it was able to pass at the end of the day.
All right, and then moving off into yet another thing for us to talk about, and that is something that actually you all worked into the very wee hours of Tuesday morning, I do believe. So it proves that you all are willing to work around the clock for us here, and that is deciding on a bill that passed through the Senate changing some of the child labor laws here in Iowa. Can you give us the highlights about that particular legislation?
Yeah, so that was the longest night of debate I have ever seen. I remember walking out and looking up at the clock, and it was 5 o'clock in the morning. And so this was a very contentious debate, but again, a lot of misinformation out there in regards to it. What this bill does is it's Senate File 542. It changes the hours, permitted hours for 14 and 15-year-olds. So under current law, a 14 or 15-year-old cannot work past 7 o'clock. This bill changes it to 9 o'clock. And summer hours in current law, 9 o'clock is the latest that a 14, 15-year-old can work. This changes it to 11 o'clock. And during the school year, it changes the cap on total hours in a day that a child can work from 4 to 6 in that 14, 15-year-old range. Then in the 16 to 17-year-old range, under federal law, there is no restriction to work hours, and this bill makes it the same as federal law. Now, where some of the tension was within the debate was on issues like such as can 16 and 17-year-olds be able to serve alcohol? And, of course, when right away there's questions, well, what does that mean to serve? And serving alcohol is different than bartending by definition. And so no 16 and 17-year-olds will not be able to mix drinks, but they can serve it in a restaurant setting. And so hopefully that provides the listeners some clarity on some of that confusion. So we don't want to limit students' ability to make money if that's what they want. And there is dignity in work, and we see that. And also, it might surprise some people that there is some old code language that violated federal law in regards to children under 14. And so we were able to remove some of that archaic language that actually allowed children under the age of 14 to do some jobs that most would deem not appropriate. But and then lastly, there was some confusion. Well, how does this affect, you know, like farm families or children that typically would work on a farm younger than 14? And this bill does nothing to change what's currently in practice. A child that's under the age of 14 can work in the family business or work as an actor, model, musician, any of those types of things, just like it was before.
And that's our state senator, Jesse Green, joining us once again. You're listening to Let's Talk Green County, brought to you today by Fauch AgriService in downtown Grand Junction, your channel seedsman. We'll be right back with more here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.